لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد الحمد لله my respected brothers and elders and sisters listening. Last week or the week before we started going through the life of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه from this book. And as we mentioned previously, the reason why we go through the lives of the pious people is there are a few benefits. You see, in the past, even the great scholars of Islam who gave all their time to hadith and to tafsir and to fiqh and all the noble sciences of Islam, they would still take time out to sit down and to listen to the lives of the pious people, starting from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions and all the way down. And they would say this famous statement, and this is actually very, very, very true. They would say that عند ذكر الصالحين تنزل الرحمة, that whenever the pious servants of Allah Ta'ala are mentioned, then special rahmah and mercy from Allah Ta'ala comes in that gathering. Because these are those people who truly fulfilled the rights of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala living upon the earth. Many of us, we will die, and then we will meet Allah Ta'ala, and we know how many shortcomings and how many faults and how many mistakes we had throughout our life as Muslims. But these are the people who are the golden servants of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the people for whom we are not equal to the dust under their feet. These are these kind of people. So when their names are taken and when their praise is mentioned and when they are remembered, then Allah Ta'ala's specific rahmah is attracted in that gathering. That's why the pious people would say, they'd have gatherings and they'd mention all of the great saints, all of the great scholars. You see, when they write a book, and if they wrote a book and if, for example, they're mentioning a hadith, let's say example Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi Ihya ul-Muddin, he writes Ihya ul-Muddin and he mentions a point. And to emphasize the point, he will bring lots and lots and lots of stories of the pious people who practiced upon that hadith. He will start with the Sahaba, and then he'll bring all the great. You'd read these people and you think, who are these people? I don't know who this person is. Muhammad ibn Wasi'. And they mention all these people. This person used to do this. That person used to do this. And you're thinking, who are these people? But these are the close saints of Allah Ta'ala. And people like Imam Ghazali and the great scholars, they used to know their stories by heart. And they'd mention these stories. Even in where most of us are from, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, the Indian subcontinent, there were some great saints of Allah Ta'ala that were born upon that land. And they lived upon that land. And they're buried there. Many, many pious servants of Allah Ta'ala. Some came from Persia. You have the famous Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi alayhi, whose name everybody has heard, been mentioned. Such a pious servant of Allah Ta'ala. He came from Persia. And at his hands, they say without any exaggeration, over 100,000 Hindus became Muslim. And so much hidayat and guidance was spread throughout the land. So anyway, this is why we go through the stories of the pious people, so we understand who they were. And secondly, from their lives, we can understand this person, this is how he lived his life. And this is how he became close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what I need to do as well. So we made it started, as I mentioned, I'm going to go through the book inshallah. So last week we mentioned the few dreams that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. And we were mentioning how in the dream Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see how great the status of Umar radiallahu anhu is. And then I mentioned also that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that وَافَقْتُ رَبِّي فِي ثَلَاثٍ, me and Allah Ta'ala, we agreed upon three things. Meaning I wanted three things to happen, and Allah Ta'ala automatically revealed verses to also agree with those three things. So the first thing he mentioned that I used to always want that Maqam Ibrahim, the place in front of the Kaaba. I always wanted this place to be a place of salah. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba would not, you know, after you perform the, I mentioned last week as well, after you perform the tawaf, then you do two rakat sunnah in front of Maqam Ibrahim. The Sahaba would not read this namaz. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not read this namaz. But Umar radiallahu anhu always wanted to read two rakat namaz there. So he used to say, if only we could read two rakat namaz in front of Maqam Ibrahim. And then Allah Ta'ala revealed in the Quran, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِمُ مُسَلَّى, that from now on, every time you finish tawaf, then you must, it is sunnah to read two rakats namaz in front of Maqam Ibrahim, because Umar wanted it, radiallahu anhu. Similarly, we mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, your wives are such noble people. They're the best of all the women. But everybody is looking at their face. People are coming into your house, they're walking on the streets, people know them, people see them. And he used to really not like that. Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't used to like that. He said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives are the purest of women. Not everybody should be able to look at them. It's not right that everybody on the streets can look at them. So he used to say, Ya Rasulullah, it would be better if you told your wives to cover their faces. And not, you know, if they come in front of the people to cover their faces. And after this, Allah Ta'ala revealed the verses in the Quran. That, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'mineen yudneena alayhinna min jalabibin. That, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell your wives and your daughters and the wives of the Muslims that they should cover themselves with the jilbab. The jilbab is a clothing which covers the entire body. And then, you know, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. If anybody wants to ask them for something, they need to ask them from behind a parda, behind a veil. Nobody's allowed to have a face-to-face conversation with the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this ayat was revealed after Umar radiallahu anhu wanted this. And the third example he gives, he says that, and we mentioned this last week as well, that upon one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was quite upset with his wives. He was very angry with them, he was upset with them. Umar radiallahu anhu found out, and anything that would make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upset would also make Umar upset radiallahu anhu. So he came to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was telling them off, he was admonishing them, that why are you making Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so upset? Why are you making him so angry? You people, you need to sort yourselves out, you need to look after yourselves, why are you doing this? So he was really, you know, telling them off, you could say. Obviously, like we mentioned, not everybody could do this, but Umar radiallahu anhu had a particular status anyway. So one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, Oh Umar, who are you to tell us this? You don't need to come to us and tell us off for it. And then Umar radiallahu anhu became even more upset. And he said that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to, he can divorce all of you now and Allah will replace you with women who are better than you. He made this statement. As soon as he's made this statement, Allah Ta'ala revealed a verse exactly identical to that in the Quran. عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبْدِلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنَّ. If your Lord wants, if Allah Ta'ala wants, then He will replace you women with those who are better than you. And then مُسْلِمَاتٍ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ قَانِتَاتٍ تَائِبَاتٍ. All their qualities Allah mentions. These women will be pious, they'll fear Allah, they'll stand in salah in front of Allah. You know, all of these qualities are mentioned. So as soon as Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said this, Allah Ta'ala revealed a verse, same as what he mentioned. So he says in his tawadu, in his humility, that me and Allah Ta'ala agreed in three things. However, the ulama say many, many things. Over 20 times Umar radiallahu anhu wanted something, and then Allah Ta'ala revealed a verse equal to that in the Quran. And inshallah, we're going to go through some examples of that. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentions that when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, when he was martyred, and he'll come later anyway, he says, I was standing there and then I was standing looking at Umar and everybody was so upset. And I felt someone touching my shoulder, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I felt someone touching my shoulder. He says, I looked and it was Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ali radiallahu anhu, again, is the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married to his most beloved daughter Fatima. He has such a high status amongst the Sahaba. He says, فَإِذَا عَلِيٌّ فَتَرَحَّمَ عَلَى عُمَرٍ. Ali started to say, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ عُمَرٍ. May Allah have mercy upon Umar. And then he said, مَا خَلَّفْتَ أَحَدًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أَلْقَ اللَّهَ بِمِثْلِ عَمَلِهِ مِنْكِ. He says, Oh Umar, I cannot think of anybody whose amal I wish to meet Allah Ta'ala with. Meaning there is nobody else who I want to be like when I meet Allah Ta'ala, except for you. Meaning I want to be like you when I meet Allah Ta'ala. Umar has gone and he's meeting Allah. Oh Umar, I wish that when I die, I am the same as you when I meet Allah. Meaning that's how great you are. That's how amazing you are. That's how pious you are. And then he says, وَيْمُ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُ لَأَظُنُّ أَن يَجْعَلَكَ اللَّهُ مَعَ صَاحِبَيْكَ. He says, I swear by Allah, I am sure. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, I swear by Allah, I am sure that Allah Ta'ala will unite you with your two companions. Who are your two companions? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So I swear by Allah, I know, I'm sure that Allah Ta'ala will unite you with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with Abu Bakr. Why? لِأَنِّي كُنْتُ كَثِيرًا أَسْمَعُ. Because I used to hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always saying, ذَهَبْتُ أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. Me and Abu Bakr and Umar went somewhere. دَخَلْتُ أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. Me and Abu Bakr and Umar entered this place. خَرَجْتُ أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. Me and Abu Bakr and Umar left this place. Meaning Ali radiallahu anhu is saying, every time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, I did something, he would always say, me, Abu Bakr and Umar did this. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar went. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar came. Your name was always attached to the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr in the dunya. So I am sure, Sayyidina Ali is saying radiallahu anhu, I am sure that Allah Ta'ala will unite you with your companions. Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha, the daughter of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, was also the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says that Umar radiallahu anhu used to make this dua. And this dua is beautiful dua. You have to be like Umar to make this dua. You have to have the yaqeen and the conviction. He used to do this dua, Allahumma arzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulik sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he used to make this dua all the time, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. What was the dua? O Allah, grant me shahada, martyrdom in your path. When I die, I want to die as a shaheed. And let my demise be in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to die as a shaheed, but not anywhere in the world. I want to die as a shaheed in Medina. So for the Sahaba, they were always out in jihad in different countries, different places. So to die as a shaheed in the path of Allah is perfectly logical. But Umar radiallahu anhu's dua was, I want to die as a shaheed, firstly. Secondly, I want to die as a shaheed in Madinatul Munawwara. And Allah Ta'ala accepted both of his du'as. فَقُلْتُ أَنَّا يَكُونُ هَذَا. So Hafsa radiallahu anha, his daughter, she used to say, my father, how can this happen? You want to die as a shaheed, but you want to die in Medina as a shaheed. How does that? It's like me saying, I want to die as a shaheed, but in Ashton, in my house. Right? Because shaheed, you go out in the path of Allah, you don't know where you're going to end up. So Hafsa radiallahu anha, she used to say, my father, how is that going to happen? That both of these things. And Umar, she says, my father used to reply, يَأْتِينِي بِهِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِذَا شَاءَ. If Allah wishes, that can happen. Meaning he has to have the yaqeen in his dua that Allah will make it happen. And if you see, inshallah, obviously this is the last thing that we'll do. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, he was coming to Fajr Salah, and this Persian slave, Abu Lu'lu Firoz, will come right at the end probably. Abu Lu'lu. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is coming to lead Fajr Salah, he's standing onto the Musalla, and this man comes running through the people, and he stabbed Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu on his chest and his stomach. He just stabbed him a few times. And then the people obviously gripped him, but by that time he'd been fatally stabbed, and his gushing blood was coming out of his body. They took him to his house, and it was the Fajr Salah. He says, no, I need to read the Salah. So whilst blood was gushing out of it, they said, you don't need to, you can't read namaz in this state. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, there is no share in Islam for a person who leaves their salah. And then he read his salah in that state, and then he passed away. So he was became shaheed. He was martyred by this man, and in Madinatul Munawwara. So this is his dua, Allah Ta'ala accepted it. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentions that anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal inna Allah ja'ala al-haqqa ala lisani Umar wa qalba. Again, this is backing up all of the things we said about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر. If there was a Nabi who came after me, that Nabi would have been Umar. Because every time Umar wants to do something, Allah Ta'ala wants the same thing. And many times Umar radiallahu anhu wants to do something, Rasulullah is not agreeing with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr is not agreeing with him. But Allah Ta'ala agrees with him. Because many times Umar radiallahu anhu's opinions may seem harsh to some people, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very soft. But sometimes something can be harsh, something can be stern, but it is the right course of action. And this is what Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, everything he wanted to happen, even though many times he was very stern, he was very strict, but this was the best thing for the Muslims. And Allah Ta'ala used to agree to that. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that Allah Ta'ala has made the haq, the truth, come from the tongue and from the heart of Umar. That in the heart of Umar is the truth. Whatever comes out of his tongue is always the truth. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentions that مَا نَزَلَ بِالنَّاسِ أَمْرٌ قَطُّ فِيهِ وَقَالُوا فِيهِ وَقَالَ فِيهِ عُمَرٌ إِلَّا نَزَلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى نَحْوِ مَا قَالَ عُمَرٌ. He says that any time anything used to happen, and when people used to say something, and Umar used to say something different, everybody used to be saying something. Everybody used to have one opinion. And Umar would, radiallahu anhu, would have a different opinion. Allah would reveal in the Quran according to what Umar wanted. Every single time. Then it became like normal. People want something, everybody thinks this is the best thing to do. Umar says, no, I don't agree with this. Allah reveals a verse according to Umar radiallahu anhu wants. And it's not like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always with what Umar wanted. Many times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to want something else, and Umar radiallahu anhu said, ya Rasulullah, no. I don't agree with this. And it'll come later. Sometimes you think, how did Umar have the courage? He'd go and he'd say, ya Rasulullah, I'm not going to do this if you do this. I don't agree with you doing this. No other sahab would have the audacity to say this. Umar radiallahu anhu would. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, anything. He was fana. They were both, drowned in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the way they would go about it was because of their nature. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very soft. Very soft. Anything Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is it. He doesn't need to think of anything, hear anything else. But Umar radiallahu anhu will always think twice and know, ya Rasulullah, I don't agree with this. I think this is better. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always just smile. He just smile and say, it's okay, Umar, this is what I'm going to do. Umar, this is what I'm going to do. And then Allah Ta'ala would reveal a verse, and then Rasulullah would come to Umar and say, oh Umar, I wish I'd listened to you in the first place. Many times this happened. Inshallah, some more incidents are going to come. Sayyidina Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيٌ لَكَانَ عُمَرُ ابْنُ الْخَطَّابِ, that if there was a Nabi who came after me, that Nabi would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab. And this is narration mentioned by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Umar radiyallahu anhu, he mentioned, this is something he was very proud of. And you think, subhanAllah, look at his tawadu'. Allah is revealing verses in the Qur'an according to what Umar is wanting, radiyallahu anhu. Imagine if that happened to me or you. I say something and Allah says, I agree with this person. We would feel that we're the greatest wali of the time, the greatest saint of the time. Allah is agreeing with me. But look at the tawadu and the humility of Umar radiallahu anhu. He says that, istadhantun, and he used to say this very happily. He said, istadhantun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil umrah. He says, on one occasion, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I asked, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to go for umrah. Go for umrah, visit the house of Allah ta'ala. فَأَذِنَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ gave me permission. وَقَالَ, and when he gave me permission, he said, لَا تَنْسَنَا يَا أَخِي مِنْ دُعَائِكَ. Oh my brother, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم calling my brother. Oh my brother, do not forget us in your du'as. When you go to Umrah and you do du'a to Allah, don't forget us. Do du'a for me. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه, make sure you spare a du'a for me as well. And then Umar radiallahu anhu used to remember this all the time. He used to say this. And he used to say, فَقَالَ كَلِمَةً مَا يَسُرُّنِي أَنَّ لِي بِهَا الدُّنْيَا. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, these words. Oh my brother, do not forget me in your du'as. I would trade the whole dunya for these words. These words are more valuable to me than the whole dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to someone as inferior as me, someone as lowly as me, you know, that keep us in your du'as. This is how much tawadu he had. I am nobody, I am nothing. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me to make dua for him. So he would always remember this. And this was his tawadu and his humility. Otherwise Umar, his status, everybody knows his status. Sayyidina Ali is saying, every time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I went somewhere, he says, me Abu Bakr Umar, all the time. But this is his tawadu. In another narration, he mentions, أَشْرِكْنَا يَا أَخِي فِي دُعَاكِ. Same meaning. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, again this hadith is narrated by Imam Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, he says, إِنَّ أَهْلَ الدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى لَيَرَاهُمْ مِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ النَّجْمَ الطَّالِعَ فِي أُفُقِ السَّمَاءِ وَإِنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَأَنْعَمَا. SubhanAllah, this hadith just establishes the status of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu both. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, when the people go to Jannah, so the Muslims, the pious people, the muttaqeen, when they go to Jannah, then they will be in Jannah, but they will be looking up to some people whose status in Jannah will be so high, the same way in the dunya we look to the stars. You know how far the stars are, they're so far, they're so high. So in Jannah you will have the normal Muslims, the good pious people, but they'll be looking up to some people, those people will be like stars in the sky. They'll be so high in Jannah, because they're the closest servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is giving the highest statuses in Jannah, highest ranks in Jannah. And then he says, وَإِنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ مِنْهُمَا. From those people who will be in the highest stages of Jannah will be Abu Bakr and Umar. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَنْعَمَ, rather Abu Bakr and Umar will be even higher than that. So you have this, out of the billions of people who may have believed in Allah Ta'ala, from all of the generations, every single ummah of every single prophet, Adam alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, every single prophet's nations, they will all be in Jannah. But then you'll have those who are in the highest stages of Jannah. And then beyond them will be the stage of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah. This just goes to show. So we need to learn about these people and their lives. And then he goes on to mention now some of the karamat, some of the miracles of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu that took place at his hands. One of the, this goes to show again his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how close he was to Allah ta'ala. So he mentions that upon one occasion, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was giving the Jum'ah khutbah. You know when you have the Jum'ah khutbah? Umar radiallahu anhu is standing there on the minbar and he's giving the khutbah for Jum'ah. All of a sudden in his khutbah, he shouts out, Ya Sariyat ibn Hisn, Al-Jabal, Al-Jabal. O Sariya, the son of Hisn, the mountain, the mountain. So in his khutbah, he stands up and he says, O Sariya, the son of Hisn, the mountain, the mountain. He just shouts it out. He's talking about something else. And all of a sudden he says this. فَالْتَفَتَ النَّاسُ بَعْضٌ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. Everybody, the person narrating the hadith, he says, everybody started looking at each other thinking, what's going on? What's he talking about? And he says, فَلَمْ يَفْهَمُ مُرَادَهُ. Nobody understood what Umar radiallahu anhu was talking about. He's talking about something and all of a sudden he says, O Sariya, the mountain, the mountain. And then he carries on talking, his normal speech that he's giving. He says, فَلَمَّا قَضَى صَلَاتَهُ قَالَ لَهُ عَلِيٌّ. He says, when the salah finished, I won't do the Arabic. He says, when Namaz Jummah salah finished, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu approached him. And he says, what is this that you said in your khutbah? What did you mean by this? O Sariya, the mountain, the mountain. Umar radiallahu anhu says, وَسَمِعْتَهُ. Did you hear this? He didn't even know that he said it loud. He said, did you hear it? And Ali radiallahu anhu says, أَنَا نَعَمْ أَنَا وَكُلُّ أَهْلِ الْمَشْيِدِ. Yes, I heard it and everybody in the masjid heard it. It wasn't just me that heard it. Everybody heard you shouting this out. We're all confused as to what you mean, what you meant by that. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, while I was giving the khutbah, all of a sudden I remembered an army that I had sent out. And the leader of the army, the general of the army, Sariya, the son of Hisan. Sariya. And he says, Sariya and his army, Allah Ta'ala showed me that they were traveling to attack the enemy, but the enemy already knew that they were coming. So the enemy had gone into the mountains on both sides and were waiting for the army to come so that they could circle them and defeat them. They were ambushing them. He says, Allah Ta'ala showed me this while I was giving the khutbah, so I shouted this out. And so Sayyidina Umar is shocked that he said it out loud. He didn't realize he said it out loud. So, فَخَرَجَ مِنِّي هَذَا الْكَلَامِ. So these words came out of me. So then the narration, he mentions that فَجَاءَ الْبَشِيرِ بَعْدَ شَهْرٍ. After 1 month, a person came from the army. يَذْكُرُ أَنَّهُمْ سَمِعُ. And that person came and he says, O Umar, alhamdulillah, Allah has given victory to Sariya and his army. And he says, we were going through this certain place to attack the enemy, and all of a sudden, فَلَمَّا سَمِعُوا فِي ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَتِلْكَ السَّاعَةِ حِينَ حَذَوِ الْجَبَلِ صَوْتًا يَشْبَهُ صَوْتَ عُمَرِ يَا سَارِيَةَ تَبْنَ حِصًا الْجَبَلِ الْجَبَلِ. He says, we were just traveling normally, our army. All of a sudden, we hear a sound, sounding like the sound of Umar, the voice of Umar, saying, oh, Sariya, the mountain, the mountain. So we looked towards the mountain and we saw the enemy coming. So we managed to defeat them and we managed to win. So this is one of the miracles of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And remember, this karama, this miracle, if you study any book of Aqeedah, it mentions in the karamatul awliya'i haqqun. It's part of our Aqeedah, part of our belief, that the miracles of the saints are true. Allah Ta'ala makes them happen. Because remember, the nature is controlled by Allah. The laws of nature are controlled by Allah. If Allah Ta'ala wants to change the laws of nature for a person, Allah Ta'ala can do that. And then if you have the examples of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the prophets, Isa Alayhi Salaam and all the miracles he had, Musa Alayhi Salaam, the miracles he had, they're not normal, but Allah Ta'ala changes the laws of nature for a particular purpose. And he can do that. So and then he mentioned that there are many such examples like this, but he says, I don't want to go into all of the miracles because it will become very, very lengthy. And then he talks about the Khilafah, how when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was on his, about to pass away, then he passed the Khilafah over to Umar radiallahu anhu, and he mentioned the incident. He says that when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was on his deathbed, he was about to leave the world. He called the Sahaba and he did Mashwara with them. And in the Mashwara, he asked them that, what do you think about me? I want to appoint Umar as a Khalifa after me. I want to appoint Umar radiallahu anhu as the leader of the Muslims after I pass away. What do you think? He called all the main Sahaba. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was one of the eldest of the Sahaba from the Asharat al-Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings of Jannah in this world. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. He was very old in age as well and very wise. So he says, "Huwa afdalu min ra'yika fi." O Khalifatu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his title was Khalifatu Rasulillah. Whenever anybody would talk to him, they'd say, "Ya Khalifatu Rasulillah." Oh, the representative of Allah's Messenger. This was his title. The first person to be called Amirul Mu'mineen was Umar radiallahu anhu. He came later and he was called Amirul Mu'mineen. Before that, in the beginning, they used to call him Ya Khalifata Khalifati Rasulillah. Oh, the representative of the representative of Rasulullah. Meaning, oh, the representative of Abu Bakr. So he was a very long title. And then later he changed to Amirul Mu'mineen and then everybody's happy with that. Otherwise, everybody would come to Umar and say, Ya Khalifata Khalifati Rasulillah. Oh, the representative of the Naib of Allah's Messenger, basically in Urdu. So anyway, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he did mashwara, he did consultation with Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. Abdul Rahman says, Oh Abu Bakr, huwa afdalu min ra'ika fi. Whatever you think of Umar, you already have such a good opinion of Umar, whatever you think of Umar, Umar is better than that. So he asked Abdul Rahman, tell me your opinion, should I appoint Umar as my Khalifa? As the leader of the Muslims after me. Abdul Rahman says, whatever you think of Umar already, Umar is already better, he's better than that. So that means appoint him. And then he says, ثُمَّ اسْتَشَارَ عُثْمَانَ بْنَ عَفَّانَ. He asked Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه, oh Uthman, what do you think? Should I appoint Umar as the Khalifa after me? فَقَالَ أَنْتَ أَخْبَرُنَا بِهِ وَعِلْمِي بِهِ أَنَّ سَرِيرَتَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَلَانِيَتِهِ وَأَنَّ لَيْسَ فِينَا مِثْلُهُ. SubhanAllah, look at how Uthman radiallahu anhu explained. He says, oh Abu Bakr, you know him better than us. You don't need to ask us about Umar. You know Umar better than all of us. You are always with Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, however, my knowledge is that his internal, meaning his batin, is better than his zahir. And his zahir is so good. His zahir, his apparent. For example, I come in front of you, people say, oh, this scholar, this person, mashallah, he's so pious, because everybody's seeing me. This is my zahir. My batin only Allah knows. If I go home, how am I? With my family, how am I? You know, because then I'm not showing off to anybody. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he says, my knowledge is that his batin is better than his zahir. Whatever he doesn't show the people is more than what he shows the people. And then he says, and I, in my knowledge, there is nobody else like him. Nobody else is on the maqam and the rank of Umar radiallahu anhu. And then he said, this is what he said. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he asked Sa'id ibn Zayd. So he's asking all these great sahaba. Sa'id ibn Zayd again is one of the 10 companions who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed Jannah in the world. Abu Bakr asks him, oh Sa'id ibn Zayd, what's your opinion about Umar radiallahu anhu? And Usayd ibn Hudayr, he was from the Ansar, he asked him as well. And he asked many other of the Muhajir sahaba and the Ansar sahaba. Usayd said, huwa a'lamu lil khayri ba'dak. Oh Umar, oh Abu Bakr, he will know what best to do after you. Meaning he is the person who will always make the best decision. These people have seen in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam how Umar is always making the right decision. So that's why they're saying, look, he is the one to make the best decision, make the correct decisions. And then yarda lil rada, he will be happy when it's time to be happy. Wa yasqatu lis sakhat, he'll be angry when it's time to be angry. Umar has that perfect balance. He'll be happy when he needs to be happy. He'll be pleased when he needs to be pleased. He'll be angry when he needs to be angry. And then he said the same thing. وَسَرِيرَتُهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَلَانِيَتِهِ. Whatever he hides from the people, his internal condition is better than his outward condition that he shows to the people. And then Usayd says, وَلَنْ يَلِيَ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ أَحَدٌ أَقْوَى عَلَيْهِ مِنْهُ. Oh Abu Bakr, I cannot think of anybody else who will look after this responsibility of khilafat, looking after all the Muslims, taking the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I cannot think of anybody after you who will do this job better than him, who is stronger, as strong for this job as him. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he called Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he says, oh Uthman, write, start writing. So Uthman radiallahu anhu started to write. And the letter says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is what Abu Bakr ibn Abu Quhafa is dictating at the last stages of his life. When he is leaving, fi akhiri ahdi bid dunya kharija minhu. When he is leaving the dunya, this is the last stage of his life and he is making someone write this letter down. And when he is making his journey into the akhirat. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he mentions his own condition. He says, حِينَ يُؤْمِنُ الْكَافِرُ وَيُوقِنُ الْفَاجِرُ وَيَصْدُقُ الْكَاذِبُ. He says, I am going into the akhirat now. In the akhirat, when the kafir will become a mu'min, when the disbeliever will understand, when a person who used to disobey Allah Ta'ala will have yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, when the kathib, when the liar in this dunya will start speaking the truth. I am going there now. And then he says, Inni mustakhlifun alaykum ba'di Umar ibn al-Khattab. I am now leaving after me my responsibilities to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So make sure, fasma'u lahu wa ati'u. Listen to him and obey him. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he writes down in this letter, he says, فَإِنِّي لَمْ آلِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَدِينَهُ وَنَفْسِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ خَيْرًا. He says, because I only wish for Allah and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for their religion and for myself and for you the best thing. Any decision I make is the best for everything, for deen, for Allah, for his Rasul, for the religion of Islam, for all of you. I'm going to make the best decision. And then he says, فَإِنْ عَدَلَ فَذَلِكَ ظَنِّي بِي. If Umar is just and he does insaf and justice, then this is what I expect of him. I know him to be a just and fair person. He says, وَإِنْ بَدَّلَ, if he changes and he becomes bad and he becomes unjust, فَلِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَكْتَسَبٍ, then everybody will answer to Allah Ta'ala for their crime. He's saying, I can't control if somebody changes. Right now, the way Umar is, I know he will be just. And then he says, I only want the best. However, وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ, I do not know the unseen. I do not know what will happen in the future. So this is the letter he wrote. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Anybody who does any zulm in the dunya, any oppression in the dunya, then when the situation changes, they will truly realize. Meaning, in the akhirah, they will see the result of their zulm, meaning the adab. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this is the letter Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wrote. In that letter, he appointed Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu as the Khalifa after him. I'm just going to just finish off this part about the letter, inshallah, and then we'll finish. And then he ordered someone to bring the letter, and then he put his official seal on the letter. And then the letter was brought out to the people. So everybody came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and everybody pledged allegiance to him. They gave bay'ah to him, and everybody was happy with this. Thereafter, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he called Sayyidina Umar. And then he gave him his special advice. He advised him. And then he left. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, so he called Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu to him. Remember, these are the last moments of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's life. He calls Umar to me, advises him, "Oh Umar, I'm making you the Khalifa after me." And he gives him his advice. And then Umar radiallahu anhu leaves. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he lifts his hand up in dua and he says, this is the dua he makes. Allahumma inni lam urid bithalika illa salahahum. Oh Allah, my intention with making Umar radiallahu anhu Khalifa is to rectify the people, is to make the people better. That's my only intention. وَخِفْتُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْفِتْنَةِ I fear that fitna will come upon my people. فَعَمِلْتُ فِيهِمْ مَا أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِ مِنِّي So the decision I made is, you know why I made that decision. فَوَلَّيْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ خَيْرَهُمْ وَأَقْوَاهُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ He's saying, Ya Allah, I made the best of them and the strongest of them their leader. I made the best of them and the strongest of them their leader. وَأَحْرَصُهُمْ عَلَى مَا أَرْشَدَهُمْ And the one who is most concerned about them. This man Umar radiallahu anhu is most concerned about what is good for them. Like a father is concerned, what's good for my son? This is how Umar is concerned for the ummah. So this is the person I've made. وَقَدْ حَضَرَنِي مَنْ أَمَرَكَ مِنْ أَمْرِكَ مَا حَضَرَنِي Oh Allah, your command has reached me now. Meaning death has reached me. I'm about to die. فَخْلُفْنِي فِيهِمْ فَهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَنَوَاصِيهِمْ فِي يَدِكَ He says, so make Umar radiallahu anhu the best person after me to lead them. فَهُمْ عِبَادُكَ These people are your servants. وَنَوَاصِيهِمْ فِي يَدِكَ Their forelocks are in your hand. This is one of the du'as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always make. Allahumma inni abduk wabnu abdik wabnu amatik nasiyati biyadik. Oh Allah, I am your servant. Wabnu abdik, the son of your servant. Wabnu amatik, the son of your maid servant. Meaning my father and mother are both your servants. Nasiyati biyadik. This is one of the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My forelock. Forelock is this. This hair, forelock. نَاصِيَتِي بِيَتِكَ My forelock is in your hands. So this is the dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make. Ya Allah, my forelock is in your hands. نَاصِيَتِي بِيَتِكَ And then he would say, Oh Allah, Allahumma khudh bi nasiyati ila al-birri wa taqwa. Oh Allah, drag me from my forelock to what is good for me, what is khair for me. Imagine someone grabs me from my hair here and pulls me. So this is the dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make. Ya Allah, from my forelock, from these hairs, drag me to what is good for me. Many times I don't know what's good for me. I don't know, and I want to do the wrong thing, I want to do the bad thing. But oh Allah, if it comes to that, then drag me. Don't let me fall into anything bad, which is bad for me, which is bad for my deen. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is using the same words. He says, وَنَوَاصِيهِمْ فِي يَدِكَ Ya Allah, their forelocks are in your hand. You can take them any direction you want. وَأَصْلِحْ لَهُمْ وِلَايَتَهُ وَجَعَلْهُ مِنْ خُلَفَائِكَ الرَّاشِدِينَ يَتَّبِعُ هَدِيَ النَّبِيِّ الرَّحْمَةِ وَأَصْلِحْ لَهُ رَعِيَّتَهُ And then he does dua for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Oh Allah, make him from your rightly guided khulafa, so that he may lead people according to the path shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, I think next week we'll carry on. So this, after that, it goes on to how Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's khilafat was, and the other occasions, how whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed, and whenever Allah ta'ala agreed to Umar radiallahu anhu, it goes on to mentioning these details, which we'll do next week. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.